This is podcast number 42, Reverence. If you've already heard my previous Spiritual Awakening podcasts, then maybe you've realized that they are guiding you along a journey. This podcast builds upon what you've already discovered and has the potential for you to make big, metaphoric steps forwards on that journey. But even if you've not heard any of the podcasts that came before, do not worry, this will make sense and you'll find helpful links to help you catch up where needed below. All of my podcasts speak to you on many levels, so you should find that what you get from this podcast is what you need at this time. When you listen to it again in the future or revisit podcasts you've heard before, you'll get more from them depending on your own progress and spiritual growth. I'm not going to tell you what you will get from this podcast, but when I read a draft of it to a group of friends, some of them were brought to tears, in a positive way. So what I will say is, it is time to come from your heart. The time for gathering information is over. Now is a time for being, not overthinking. Are you ready? Part 1. Reverence. Do you really know what reverence is? I'm not talking about its dictionary definition, rather what it truly means to you from direct personal experience. How do we become reverent? Can we grow in reverence? Why does it even matter? Have you ever taken time to contemplate these things? I invite you to take a moment to connect with what you think reverence is. Feel it. Don't overanalyze it. Beyond any belief system, ideology or habit, spirituality is fundamentally the pursuit of becoming closer to God. When people hear the word God, they often think it means religion. But God does not belong to religion. God existed well before any group created any religion. But for most people, religion is the only context in which God is mentioned, so it is understandable that people mistakenly think God belongs to religion. Now, some people refer to God as the creator of everything, the source, and describe God as beyond time and indeed beyond limit or measure. Those few who have truly been enlightened will have a higher perspective too. And so while God is all these things, God is so much more. And for now, I will say simply, God is good. And I hope that resonates with you too. God is good. The point of spirituality is not to simply accept any idea or belief about God though. And to do so would be akin to religion. Rather, spirituality is about knowing God through your own direct personal experience in a way that transcends intellect. It's a heart-based thing, a love-centric thing, a profound inner realization. Some people who consider themselves religious are also spiritual, but being religious alone is not spiritual. And the truth is that as a spiritual person, you can talk about God without it being anything to do with religion. Now, since there is nothing greater than God, then the greatest expression of reverence possible would be your reverence to God. But before any of us can really experience reverence towards God, there are four aspects of human nature that need to be genuinely present and developed first within us. Aspect 1. Knowing God is great. Knowing that God is great, that God is truly above you and is your superior. This implies that you have deference towards God and therefore that you also trust God. The word deference may be unfamiliar to some, and so I will share a dictionary definition. Deference is respect shown for another person, especially because of that person's experience, knowledge, age, or power. But remember, it is never about putting yourself down, and you may recall we explored this in the previous podcast on the topic of humility. Aspect 2. Love for God. This means having a profound love for God. This goes much deeper than the idea or concept of loving God because you should, to you being truly loving of God. Aspect 3. Conscious devotion. Openly and consciously acknowledging to yourself the first two aspects, that God is great and that you love God. This then brings about a deeper devotion towards God within you, as you have brought your deference and love of God consciously into your life. Aspect 4. Expressing devotion. The final aspect is outwardly expressing your devotion towards God, but more than a simple act, it is about having a genuine desire to express God in your life. So in summary, Reverence towards God comes from your deference, love, devotion, and desire for God. Take a moment then to contemplate how some people might have deference to God because they know God is great, but perhaps they lack love for God. Without both, then they cannot really have devotion. It could be that they have love, but not trust, and again, they would lack devotion. When it comes to aspect 4, and outward expression of devotion, there are many who go through the motion of this as a ritual or act, but it lacks sincere devotion, love, deference, or trust, and so it is an empty gesture. Perhaps they are acting out of duty, obligation, habit, social pressure, or indoctrination. But without genuine deference, trust, and love for God, even when well-intentioned, their actions are fruitless and their reverence to God does not grow. It is not for us to judge others, though, and perhaps this podcast might help them if they are struggling. When these 4 aspects are nurtured, it can be truly life-changing. Beyond considering others, though, this podcast is for you, so we can all be honest with ourselves about where we are personally and then have the understanding and tools to change in a way that brings us even closer to God spiritually. Part 2. Worship. It is impossible to talk about love, devotion, and a desire to express it without arriving at the notion of worship. Now please note how the word worship makes you feel and what associations you have with it. Many spiritual people naturally struggle with the idea of worship because for most people it seems tied to dogma or ritual. Let me reassure you, just like the word God, the word worship does not belong to any group, belief system, or religion. Rather, it is a natural consequence of spiritual awakening at the highest level and is a living, dynamic, exciting, and organic thing rather than being contrived, rigid, and immutable. And so when all 4 aspects are blossoming within you, and you nurture them, then it naturally leads to worship of God. This worship is a very private thing, which does not require anyone else or the need to go to a specific building or place. It's with you right now, and it may not even require words. It's simply the fruit of your deference, love, devotion, and desire, and happens whenever you willingly focus your attention upon God rather than upon yourself. Take a moment right now, pause this if you like, and simply intend to experience your connection with God, without expectation or trying. That is worship. Part 3. Community. When we as humans get together and spiritually worship God, it is something special. The reason for this is profound and it relates to the reason why humans are so special. There's an interesting exploration about some of this in podcast 41 on humility at about 36 minutes. And whether you've heard it before or not, I highly recommend you listen to it soon. It's inspiring. Putting it simply though, we have free will, and as well as being loved unconditionally by God, we are capable of loving others and ourselves. We are guided by our God-given spirits to be closer to God, which is not a journey of knowledge or even light, but rather love. As humans, we can communicate with, love, guide, and even heal each other. And the best of the goodness that we can be, do, and demonstrate towards others is a humble reflection of the amazing qualities of God. For example, if you genuinely love another human, then you are demonstrating God's love within duality, which is only possible because God intended humanity so that they could demonstrate goodness. This is why you could say it pleases God to see humans demonstrating goodness towards each other. So when a group of humans get together and worship God, they are taking their demonstration of goodness to an even higher level. Instead of demonstrating goodness towards each other, when they worship God together, they are demonstrating goodness to each other and goodness towards God. Furthermore, each human present is a witness to it, which means their spirit knows that they are focused on God. Such sincere spiritual group worship of God is more impactful than when you worship alone because it fulfills the 4th aspect of a desire to express your devotion to God in your life. Furthermore, you are united with other humans in a loving act towards God, who is the source of love. And remember, each human there, including you, is there of your own free will, and so you have chosen to give your attention and love towards God. This is powerful because the only thing you are really in control of is your choices. And, as I've said in previous podcasts, each choice you make either takes you further from God, for example, selfish or ego-based choices, or brings you closer to God. What choice could be more powerful in bringing you closer to God than choosing to worship God openly with others as a witness? This is what communion truly means. To intimately share your love of God with others in worship. And this was the original concept behind groups gathering in spiritual worship. There are forces for good and there are forces for bad. That is the nature of duality. And so even something as beautiful and pure as worshipping God can and has been twisted or tainted, even if it was well-intentioned. Therefore, dogma, organizations with an agenda, ego, and manipulation of truth to gain control over other people has turned group worship into something negative in some cases. But as I describe it above in its simplest form, the act of joining with others in worship of God, when it truly comes from the heart, is sincere, and if those present have all four aspects of reverence within them, then it is pure and spiritual, not denominational, and is very positive. So what actually happens when a group of humans get together to worship God? How does the worship express itself? In this pure spiritual context, you may demonstrate your reverence and devotion to God in three ways while in communion with others. These three acts are a demonstration of real spiritual group worship. Number one, talking openly about your reverence for God with others. This is affirming your love, devotion, and deference for God. Number two, talking about how you experience God in your life. This is inspiring for others. And number three, demonstrating goodness to others present. This is actually demonstrating godliness to others. The more good you are, the more God's qualities are experienced by others through you. It is really important to recognize that all of these are founded in your living experience of God, of love, and of virtue. It is not about belief. As a human, your potential to have reverence is always present and your depth of reverence will increase as you grow spiritually, and therefore reverence can never be a belief system or dogmatic thinking. It comes from the heart and is recognized through experience. Therefore, it is truly spiritual and never a religion. Should the act of demonstrating reverence fall into habit, repetition, or putting another person's beliefs above your own experience, then it is no longer spiritual, in which case, take stock and bring yourself back to coming from the heart and your living experience of it. Part 4. Godliness. I explained before how demonstrating goodness to others brings godliness into the situation, and that to be good is to be godly. This does not mean that being good makes you God. Obviously not. Rather, being good means you are demonstrating the qualities of God within duality. For those of you who have already encountered the six virtues, which are humility, gratitude, respect, non-judgment, compassion, and unconditional love, then they will become relevant as we try and comprehend what it means to be good. If you've not heard about the six virtues, there is a wealth of teachings and guidance about them on the website and links below. Let us first recall the four aspects of having reverence to God, which summarized again are number one, deference. Number two, love. Number three, devotion. And number four, desire. When we consider the six virtues, then they can actually make more sense when we explore them in the context of these four aspects. The first aspect of deference towards God naturally brings forth the first three virtues of humility, gratitude, and respect of God. The second aspect of love of God then brings forth the next three virtues, which are non-judgment, compassion, and unconditional love, again towards God. This means that all of the six virtues are expressed towards God because of our deference and love of God. So for any human who has deference and love of God, then they will naturally be growing in the six virtues with respect to God. But you may recall from my previous podcasts, like number 37, Closer to God, that as well as applying towards God, the six virtues also apply towards yourself and others. Each of these is called a stance. For example, you can have respect for God, respect for others, and respect for yourself. And so there are three stances for respect, and similarly for each of the six virtues. Now the third aspect of reverence, which is your devotion to God, brings the focus of the six virtues upon yourself, because in your desire to be closer to God, you become more humble, grateful, respectful, non-judgmental, compassionate, and unconditionally loving towards yourself. This happens because you recognize God made you and loves you, and so you have the potential to be softer and kinder towards yourself. So the third aspect, devotion, reveals the importance of applying the six virtues to yourself. It is so simple then to observe that the fourth aspect of reverence, which is your desire for God in your life to be demonstrated, therefore impacts on how you are with others. It is only with others that there can be a witnessed demonstration. Therefore, how you are with others is the final stance of the six virtues. So it is when you are in communion with others to worship God that you get to explore the six virtues fully with others. At this point, I want to make it clear that there is the opportunity to explore the six virtues in relation to others, yourself, and God in every moment, not just in group worship. Even when you are alone, God is always present, and you can still demonstrate virtue towards others because how you think of them in their absence matters. But coming back to spiritual group worship, when you truly worship God in communion with others, then did you know that you are actively demonstrating the six virtues towards God, towards yourself, and towards others? There is wonderful symmetry in this because the three stances of the virtues, 1, God, 2, self, and 3, others, are also the essence of the three acts of true spiritual worship. God is the focus when you are talking about your love of God. Self is the focus when you are sharing how you, yourself, experience God in your life. Others is the focus when you are being good to others. So whether you approach things from the perspective of the six virtues or from reverence towards God, the outcome is the same. It's about you loving God and communicating it with yourself and others so that it is a conscious thing in your life. You may wonder though, isn't it enough for me to believe and to privately pray or thank God? The answer would be yes and no. Yes, it is a good start, but your soul and spirit exist within duality to guide you towards God and to help you grow in goodness through the choices you make. But in order to make a choice, you need to know that there is a choice to be made. So you cannot choose what is silent, unknown, or unconscious. You can only choose what you are conscious of. Devotion, love, and therefore reverence are not a one-time deal. If you just declare, "I am spiritual," or "I love God," and even if you really mean it, that affirmation is a moment in time. But reverence is like a plant. It must be watered, nurtured, and fed. You can't simply plant it and forget about it. It grows within you or it dies within you. What determines the outcome is you giving it your attention from the heart. This is why the third aspect of reverence was you acknowledging it to yourself. The more you do, the quicker and stronger your devotion grows. Leave it for a long time and it withers. What next? This is about you, not anyone else. And so I encourage you to take your time and to take what is helpful from this podcast. Maybe revisit it in a few days or weeks and see what has changed. Now that you know about the four aspects, then a good starting point would be to sit with yourself in stillness, neutrality, and honesty, and to ask yourself, how much do I know God is great? And how much do I trust God? How much do I truly love God? How much do I bring my awe and love of God into my thoughts on a daily basis? How much do I desire to have God in my life radiating from me? These are obviously questions intended to help you calibrate which of the aspects you might want to focus more upon in order to grow and nurture them. A useful starting point, because no matter who we are or how awakened we think we are, there is no such thing as too much reverence to God, and so all of us can benefit and grow from what has been shared. It's all about you now, and your reverence towards God. Importantly, it's also about what you will experience as your reverence towards God deepens. God bless.